I invite you to use your imagination for a moment to see if you can learn something about yourself. The ship you are on sinks lower into the water. You finally make your way to the last seat on the lifeboat. Relief washes over you as the lifeboat moves away from the sinking ship. That was a close call, and you are so thankful to be alive. But then you hear, "Help! Help!" Looking back, you see someone standing on the deck that will soon plunge beneath the water. In this scenario, the only hope this person has to live is for you to go back and trade places with this person. You, forfeiting your life, is the only chance this person has to live. Okay, you got that? It's you or that person, and you get to decide. Here's a question. Is there anyone you'd give up your seat on that lifeboat to save? For me, it would be my wife Cindy, my daughters, my son, my son-in-laws, and certainly those who do and will call me Papa. Being willing to give your life to someone else, it shows. It shows how much you value someone. It shows their worth to you. All right, let's shift our scenario a little bit. You are there in the lifeboat and you hear, "Help, help." You turn around and you see the person crying for help and you say to yourself, "You know, I think I'll pass." Or you say, "You know, I think I'll stay right here safe and dry." Perhaps you even say, "I'm not giving up my seat for a stranger." Or perhaps you know that person, you say, "I'm not giving up my seat for that jerk." Or maybe you say, "I'm not giving up my seat for one of those kind of people." What did this little imaginary trek tell you about what you value and about who you value? Did it show anything about who you don't value? Good morning. This is Mike Clevin, pastor of First Baptist Church of Fallen. I'm glad to have this time to share a message with you from the Bible. Also, I want to invite you to join us for worship at FBC Fallen on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. You can join us in person at our church building, or you can join us online. You can find directions to the church building or links to our online service by going to our website, which is fbcfallen.org. That's fbcfallen.org. You know, we are in the series here over the last several weeks called God, What's Going On? In our first message, we talked about that there was a war in heaven, rebellion. Satan rebelled against God, and it became a war, a cosmic war that spilled over into the earth. And then in doing so, humans were caught up in that rebellion. Humans sinned and rebelled against God and were enslaved to sin, and we still live with the consequence of death. In the second message of the series, we talked about how God had a champion. His name is Jesus, and that Jesus came, and through his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection, he battled on God's behalf against the forces that took in rebellion what was God's, and that God was establishing his rightful rule over the creation. The third message, we talked about the kingdom of God. It's what Jesus talked about the most. And it is that place where God's will moves forwards. It is that place where the rebels are overcome and God's plans move forward. We talked about the fact that it's God's good territory, the good territory where God is king and his values and his loving, self-sacrificing love for one another way is lived out. Last week, we talked about our role as humans, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, our role in God's kingdom, what God wants to do in us and through us, the role of those who believe in Jesus and follow his lead. So how do I live in God's good territory here and now? That's the question we ask. How do I live in God's good territory here and now? Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And that's what we talked about last week, that the first part of this answer to this question is, how do I live in God's good territory? Well, the way we do that is follow Jesus' direction, and we make Jesus-style love for others the driving force of our life. Making Jesus-style love the driving force of our life, it sends so many things out of the center of our life, including self-righteousness or self-pity or self-loathing. And it replaces it with self-denial, getting ourselves out of the way so that God's love can flow into us and God's love can flow through us and beyond us. Today, we take a look at the second answer to that question, how do I live in God's good territory here and now? Or another way of saying that is, how do I love others with Jesus-style love? How do I do that? Well, we're going to take a Bible verse to kind of move us forward in this thought, and it's from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, where it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, we didn't have the power to do what we needed done, Christ died for the ungodly, that is, those who had rebelled against him. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What does it mean to be a sinner? It means that you put at the center of who you are something other than God. You give worth to something other than God. Something becomes primary. And when that happens, we are separated from the only source of life, which is God. But the great truth is that Jesus stepped out of his lifeboat and onto the sinking ship of this world, where we as humans were going down with no hope of survival. He did that for many reasons, including making space for you in the lifeboat. In fact, making space for you in God's kingdom, making space for you in God's good territory, the place where God rules and love dominates. And when Jesus did that, when Jesus stepped out of the lifeboat and onto the sinking ship of this world for you, when he did that, he assigned ultimate worth to you. He gave his life for you, which means that Jesus valued you more than his own life. That's what Jesus-style love does. It says that while we were still sinners, while we were powerless, that's what Jesus-style love does. It delights in the unlovely. It sacrifices for the undeserving. It redeems and rescues and reforms and reshapes. It takes what is broken and useless and makes it new. Now, this is very important. If you don't remember anything else from this message, I would hope and pray that you remember this. The ultimate worth Jesus assigns to you, and he does. The ultimate worth that Jesus assigns to you is the same ultimate worth Jesus assigns to every person in the world. Let me say that one more time. The ultimate worth Jesus assigns to you is the same ultimate worth Jesus assigns to every person in the world. You might say, "I don't know about that. You should meet some of the people I know." Well, listen to this. This is from 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He is, speaking of Jesus, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And listen to this from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." Jesus assigns ultimate worth to every person in the world. Now, I have a question that can be uncomfortable. Is that how you see people? Do you see all people in this world as having ultimate worth? It is so easy for us to have a sliding scale of worth to rank some people as more worthy than others, but not Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus liked to share meals with people, but there was a problem. At least for the very religious people of his day, there was a problem. They would only eat with the right kind of people. People they thought lived their lives correctly, their own little religious, highly religious, highly moral group. But Jesus ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. Certainly not the right kind of people. At least not the right kind of people according to the very religious people. But Jesus saw the worth and the need for him in all people. So he even ate with the very religious people. Jesus knew the very religious people needed more than their religion. They needed him. But it stressed out most of the very religious people because Jesus ate with those kind of people. Who is on your I'd never share a meal with him or her or those kind of people list? Who is on your beyond loving list? Is it LGBTQIA plus people? Is it abortion doctors? Is it pro-life supporters? Is it pornographers? Is it child pornographers? Is it Muslims? Is it certain kinds of Christians? Is it promoters of Black Lives Matter? Or is it anyone who says all lives matter? Who is on your beyond loving list? Republicans? Democrats? Let's make this a little more personal. Nancy Pelosi? Donald Trump? We are living in a time of cancel culture. It's a term that I've just heard in the last several months. And in this cancel culture, your value, your worth, your ability even to do a job or your desire to have you work for a company can depend on you holding the right position on certain social issues. And if you don't hold the right position, if you have a perspective that is seen as not correct, that's how the kingdom of this world operates. That's power over, control over. It is using force to bring forward an agenda. But those who hold a different perspective on social issues that differ from those behind cancel culture can be just as tempted and often have used power over, have used control and force to bring forth their own agendas. And Christians can easily do that. They can easily try to use force and pressure to try and move forward their agenda and what they think is correct. And that is just as much using the way of the world, the kingdom of the world approach. You see, Jesus called us to set aside that type of power over approach and to come under people with love. He called us to abandon the love of power. And he invites us to embrace the power of love. And this is very important for us, for all of us today. Where you stand on a social issue does not define who you are. It doesn't. It does not define who you are. God defines who you are. God is the creator of all things. And so whether it's white or black, an issue of race, whether it is male or female, whether it is politics or whether it is religion or whether it is whatever we may use to divide us into groups and to determine that one is better than the other, whatever social division we may have, whatever kind of approach we may have, that does not define you. What defines you is Jesus Christ dying on a cross for you. Jesus Christ giving his life for you and loving you as a child of God, inviting you into relationship and connection with him. That's what matters. That's what defines all of us, whether we have come into that relationship with him or not. Since God is the creator of all things, he defines who we are. He tells us who we are. You see, God defines who you are, and through Jesus Christ, he sees you as someone with unsurpassable ultimate worth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, it says this: "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all." Jesus died for all people. "And therefore all died. All who have come into connection with God through Jesus Christ have all died to whatever would separate them from somebody else. Whether it is gender, whether it is politics, whether it is race, that all disappears in Jesus Christ because we become one through him. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." We are called to live for Jesus in Jesus' culture, Jesus' power of love culture. And then it says here in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer." How do they regard Christ in that way? Well, one of the things, they were so upset with who he was eating with. They regarded him as being so far off, but they had it so wrong. You see, Jesus' love doesn't fit the tit-for-tat, a fair price for a fair exchange way of the world. It doesn't work that way, and thank God it doesn't, because I have no fair exchange with God, because I was powerless. I'm a sinner. The fact that Jesus doesn't treat us, doesn't approach us, his love doesn't come after us with this tit-for-tat approach, that's what makes Jesus' love so radical. Jesus-style love loves the unlovely. Jesus-style love values the unworthy. Jesus-style love sacrifices for the undeserving. That's what makes it radical. That's what makes it revolutionary. That's what makes it life-changing. This is how radical and how scandalous Jesus' love is. Jesus loved and died for LGBTQIA plus people. Jesus lived, loved, and died for people who aren't LGBTQIA plus people. Jesus lived and died for abortion doctors, for pro-life supporters, for pornographers, for child pornographers, for Muslims, for Christians. Jesus loved and died for promoters of Black Lives Matter. Jesus loved and died for anyone who says all lives matter. Jesus loved and died for Republicans and Democrats. Jesus loves and died for Nancy Pelosi. And Jesus loves and died for Donald Trump. Jesus loves and died for whoever you were willing to leave standing on the deck of that sinking ship. And get this, Jesus loves and died for whoever you would like to leave standing on the deck of a sinking ship. Jesus, and this is probably the most radical, Jesus loves and died for me. And Jesus loves and died for you. Unless you understand how radical it is, how scandalous it is that Jesus died for you, you won't truly know how much Jesus loves you. If you don't recognize the depth of your need, you will never come to understand the depth of his love. And unless you understand how radical it is that Jesus died for you, you will never truly understand the radical love Jesus has for the people you find so frustrating, the people you find so hard to love, the people you think God can't love, he doesn't love. I told you we were going to look at the second answer to our question, God, how do I live in your territory here and now? How do I love others with Jesus-style love? Well, we've been talking all around that answer this morning, but I haven't really come out and said it. So we're going to give it to you now. How do I live in God's good territory here and now? How do I love others with Jesus-style love? Well, as we talked about last week, first we make Jesus-style love for others the driving force of our life. Loving others as Jesus commanded us to do, we've got to say, yes, that is going to form up as the core of who I am. And then we do what we've been talking about today. We cannot love others with Jesus-style love until we recognize and embrace the ultimate worth of all people. We cannot love others with Jesus-style love until we recognize and embrace the ultimate worth of all people. I can't love like Jesus until I come to love everyone that Jesus loves. To love like Jesus, we must recognize and embrace the ultimate worth of all people. Jesus died for all people. Jesus loves all people. And Jesus calls you and me to love, to radically love, to scandalously love those whom the world say are unlovable, unworthy. Remember, we've been talking about in this series, God, What's Going On, that there is a war raging around us, a war that is still being worked out on the battlefield. We know the victory has already been won. We just haven't seen the full implementation of that. And so the skirmish is still there, and it's tough and it's hard. But what's very important for us to understand is the battle lines aren't drawn between some category of people called us and them. The battle lines in this cosmic war are not drawn between groups of people known as us and them. That's how the world operates. And that's not what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to make a better version of this and get the right side going and forgetting some people on the right side and then standing against other people. You see, you cannot love your enemy with that kind of divide in your heart. You can't. Jesus loves and died for the whoever you are willing to leave standing on the deck of that ship. Jesus loved and died for the whoever you would like to leave standing on the deck of that ship. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. It says that in Ephesians chapter 6, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. It's this cosmic battle that's taking place there. So the battle lines are drawn between the anti-life forces of sin and death and evil that come against God's good creation and come against people and bind people and enslave people and hold them in sin and hold them in death. Those forces have aligned themselves against God's loving rule, against God's good territory, his kingdom. Listen to the battle lines that are described in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, "The God of this age," and that's talking about Satan, it's talking about the anti-life force that stands against God. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers." It has blinded the minds of people who have not come into relationship with Jesus Christ. So they cannot see the light of the gospel. They cannot see the light of the good news of God's territory, God's kingdom, God's life, God's influence, making its way in the person of Jesus and in the life of Jesus, that they cannot see the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the very image of God. Let me read that again without me putting all my words into that. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Sin and death took captive all humanity, including you and me. But thank God that Jesus has defeated the power of sin and death through his cross and resurrection. And thank God that some of us have been set free from the power of sin and death through the life of Jesus. Through the life of Jesus, we have entered into God's good territory, where God is king and God is ruling and we live with him. But how sad, how extremely sad it is that not all of us have been set free from the power of sin and death. We are called as followers of Jesus Christ to look at all of humanity as a whole. And how wonderful that some have come to faith in Jesus Christ, but how sad that not all have entered into the life that God has. How sad that some are still blinded by the God of this age, blinded by the anti-life force of sin and death. We cannot have Jesus-style love for others until we recognize and embrace the ultimate worth Jesus places on all people. It just doesn't work until we do that. All right, I have an assignment for you, and I would like you to follow through with this week, perhaps even tonight. If you watch cable news, I encourage you to watch a station tonight or sometime this week that you don't normally watch. If you're a Fox News regular, watch CNN. If you're a CNN regular, watch Fox News. And when you do so, don't listen to the content of what's being discussed. Turn the volume down if you need to. Just look at the anchors, the guests, and the people in the stories. And lock it into your brain, into your heart, into your soul, into who you are. Lock it in that everyone you see has ultimate worth to Jesus. These may be people that frustrate you, that you can't understand how they could think that way. But I want you to lock in. This person, these people have ultimate worth to Jesus. Say it to yourself. Say it out loud. It may feel strange, but it's good to say things out loud. Say, Jesus died for that person. Jesus died for. And say, that person, and fill in a name. That person has ultimate worth to God. Now, you may not watch cable news, and that may not, even if you do, that may not be something that you get frustrated with either way. Then find yourself a crowd with this COVID-19 and the distancing that may or may not be a challenge for you. But if you find yourself in a place where you can look around a crowd, pull yourself away from the center of the crowd to the edge and just watch the people. And as you look around at the people and see people that are different and people that may irritate you or people that you don't understand, people that don't dress the way you dress, act the way you act, I want you to take a moment and look at those people and realize and say that again in your heart. Jesus died for that person. That person has ultimate worth to God. If we do that, God begins to work in us and change us. He begins to help us to see people the way he sees people so that we can begin to love people the way Jesus loves people. If you have already entered into a relationship with Jesus, the one that he offers by coming to him through faith and seeking the forgiveness of sin, perhaps this message has challenged you. Perhaps it's challenged you to embrace more fully and deeply and center more on the love that God has for you and the love that God wants to flow out of you. Perhaps it's challenged you to see others, no matter how different politically, racially, religiously, as those who have ultimate worth and the need of Jesus-style love from you. But that might not be your experience. Perhaps you haven't come to a connection in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have known about Jesus, maybe even believed some things about Jesus, but you know you've been keeping Jesus at a distance. Or perhaps you know next to nothing about Jesus. Either way, the thought that Jesus loves you and that you have ultimate worth to him has struck a chord with you this morning. It has moved in a place in your heart you didn't even know could be touched. I'm glad that you are here today to listen to this. And I would be so glad to talk with you about the love God has for you and the life he offers for you through Jesus Christ. It is the life that God longs to share with you. If you'd like to learn more about living in the love God has for you, you can give me a call at FBC Fallen. The church office phone number is 715-689-2125. Or you can send me an email to Mike Kleven, that's Mike, K-L-E-V-E-N, at fbcfallen.org. Or even better than that, you can come and join us at FBC Fallen for worship even this morning. The service begins at 10 a.m. I would love to meet you. You can find directions to the church and information about our online service at our website, which is fbcfallen.org. Now, I hope you know and understand, Jesus loves you. Your worth to God is beyond measure. May you live in the love of God, the love God has for you, and may you see and love others just like Jesus. Amen.